With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slams it home. Garland left wing. Three ball. Perfect. Garland in front of the lane. Locked. The Mobley pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chasedown is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. We have finally got answers to what the seeding is going to be. The last time we recorded, the Cavs could have ended up anywhere from 2-7. We got an answer. They are going to be the 4 seed against the Orlando Magic. And I could not be more excited for playoff basketball to finally be here. I feel like we have been talking about a lot of the same stuff for a while now, trying to figure out what it's going to look like and whatnot. And I'm just so excited for the playoffs to finally be here. You know, I like to compartmentalize the regular season and playoffs. We're going to do all of that, break it down, and joining me today is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, it was definitely just one of the more drawn out end of regular seasons I felt in a while, you know, especially like, you know, obviously it doesn't go the way you want it to go post All-Star break. And like normally you're like, you know, when things don't go the way you want post All-Star break, like in the past with this team, it means team just wasn't that good. So then you're just not that focused on the wins and losses. You're just focused on watching like the young guys develop. So this was definitely a bit of a foreign experience, where, you know, it was hard because there, you know, we weren't looking for like young development prospects over the last month or so. Nor did it feel crazy productive to do like these crazy deep dive X's and O's analysis. So selfishly as a podcaster, I'm certainly excited to like get back to like, hey, we're just going to spend so much time talking about on-court basketball products.
Yeah, like there is no breakdown of, hey, here are some macro trends and like we can get to this point. We expect this to normalize. We are now in the small sample size of playoff basketball. And no matter what your form is heading into playoff basketball, as we've seen, it's its own animal, right? It comes down to matchups. You look at the Eastern Conference. Every single team in the top eight for the Eastern Conference won at least 46 games. There is not going to be an easy matchup in this entire East. I saw some people, you know, talking about the Magic, like, oh, you know, like I feel like the Cavs got this one and whatnot. You're going to have to earn it. I think every single team, 5 through 8, is capable of beating the team above them, the team that they're going to play in the first round. And that includes the Boston Celtics, who I think, you know, have the potential to be the best team in the league. But it's, you know, they're either playing the team that was the second best team in the Eastern Conference prior to Joel Embiid getting hurt in Philadelphia, or the Miami Heat, who we know are capable of beating anybody when it gets to this time of year. So I'm incredibly excited. But obviously, the first step in terms of how we got here was the Cavs getting a big win over the Indiana Pacers. we had talked prior to that game about how this was really their last chance to go out there and make a statement, to go out there and beat a quality opponent, you know, try to make some sort of statement prior to the playoffs that helps make us feel a little bit better about where the team is at. And what we got was a wire-to-wire win. Indiana certainly made it interesting at the end, and it was nervous clutch time, but the Cavs produced in those moments. They closed out the game and got themselves a signature win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was really nice to see. We really want... A week and a half ago was pretty sure home court advantage was just not going to happen for this team. And to lock it up with a... To your point, a wire-to-wire winner, but not a clean wire-to-wire winner. And, like, in some ways that felt better because, like, this was a team that, to put it kindly, was not counterpunching particularly well.
Yep.
Over the last month or so, you know, they'd get hit and then, you know, be you know, seeing stars for five straight minutes and teams would go on runs that would run them off the floor. The fact that, you know, Indy came with some punches... especially in that third quarter, you know, got the line a bunch, Mobley got in foul trouble, and they just kind of fought him off. And like, again, I really wanted to see one of those games. You know, I think it actually felt better to win a game like that where Indy was, I thought, playing pretty good basketball and trying their best. And, you know, then it would have felt just to blow him off the floor in a game where Indy no showed. Because, yeah, you know, no shows happen at this time of year.
Yeah, and Indy's a team that's been playing really good basketball. I believe they've won 8 of their last 11 games. You know, that's a very, very potent offense. And for the Cavs, that's been one of the biggest questions is, does the offense, you know, have the ability to rediscover kind of that form that we've seen at other points of the year? And obviously, you know, having Donovan step up in the way that he did, that was encouraging. Seeing them not let Indiana off the hook and settle for, you know, floating around in the perimeter and not really attacking the rim. The fact that they kept putting that pressure on and attacking the rim and generating good looks, I just really like their offensive flow and execution. And like you said, Indiana pushed back. The Cavs weren't afraid to respond in that moment. And I'll give you a little bit of a preview here, Carter. A little bit of a hot take to start off this here podcast. I think the Indiana Pacers are going to beat the Bucks, whether or not Giannis plays. I'm picking Indy to win that series.
I mean, I think it's certainly possible. You know, you've been really down on the Bucks all year, so I'm not surprised to hear you say that.
All year, but I've progressively kept getting lower and lower, and some of it is to bother our buddies that are Bucks fans. Let's be honest, but they haven't been playing great basketball, and you know that Giannis injury. Obviously, whether he either misses the series or isn't at 100%, that's definitely going to be a factor. But, you know, I just feel like one team is trending in one direction and the other is certainly going in the other.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers have been the fourth best team in the league after the All-Star break. 16-10 plus 6.6 net rating. You know, they had that meteoric hot start where it was like, oh, man, maybe, you know, they get to the in-season tournament final. You know, you feel like they're going really nuts. Then Halliburton goes through this. The fact that Halliburton's been in an extended downstretch and they're still that good is obviously very, very scary. I think one of the reasons you might pick Milwaukee in that series is that Halliburton's going through an extended downstretch. But, you know, it's one of those things where you look at the net ratings post All-Star break. The Cavs are the 4 seed. And we're minus 3.6. We're 22nd in the league in net rating. The Magic are 8th. You go look at the Bucks. They are 16th in net rating. The Pacers are 4th. The Miami Heat, who are either the 7 or the 8 seed, are the 6th best team since the All-Star break. The Philadelphia 76ers have won their last 8 games. Like,
well, here's the thing, Carter.
It's a crazy bracket, man.
Every single team outside of the Boston Celtics is looking at their record right now saying we are a better team than that. And the reason that we've lost this many games is due to injuries. The Bucks are saying that. The Cavs are saying that. The Knicks can say that. Obviously, you know, Indy and Orlando is going to say that. Philly is going to say that. Miami is going to say that. And despite that, each of these teams won 46 games. Like, I think that goes to show you just how good and competitive this Eastern Conference is going to be. And I think, you know, barring something unexpected happening in the play-in, because anything can happen in single elimination basketball, I think all four matchups are just going to be spectacular. And
wouldn't
really
it be such
series.
Comedy if the Hawks somehow just wormed their way into the postseason?
That would
That's the thing. People are just assuming it's Philly and Miami, and I'm like, it's a one game sample, man. Trae Young might drop 50.
Miami like almost lost, right? Like they almost didn't make it out of the play-in if Max Strus didn't have that, you know, radioactive fourth quarter. And you know, I think obviously we talked a little bit about the Indiana game, but my main takeaway, other than just being very happy for the Cavs to beat a team that is playing great basketball right now, that wanted to win that game, that there was a lot of stakes assigned to that, and the Cavs rising to the occasion, seeing them lock in on both ends of the floor. The thing that was most encouraging outside of all of that was the fact that Donovan Mitchell had as good of a game as he did. And I think the most significant part is not only how well he played and how productive he was offensively, it's that it had only been one day off since he had last played. Because when we saw him have that good game against Memphis, it's okay, he hasn't played in 4 days. Obviously, he's going to be able to kind of rest and recover, and he's going to look fresh. But for him to have a quicker turnaround time and look even better than he did against Memphis, to me, that's really, really encouraging. And honestly, where I'm at right now, let me know if you agree or disagree with this, but if Donovan is getting healthier, he's going to have these 5 days off, and just we've seen this kind of progressive upward trajectory. If he's at this level, to me, all of a sudden, it's back to the regular expectations that we had, which was to win a round of the playoffs and be competitive in the second round and try to win a second round series. Because if Donovan's healthy, everybody else, yeah, they're banged up or a little bit fatigued. The fatigue shouldn't be a factor. You're getting time off, and everything else is going to come down to execution. If Mitchell's healthy, it's going to come down to execution, because nobody's 100% when you get to the playoffs.
So is the question whether that's still the fair expectation?
The question is, do you feel the same way? That if, hey, Mitchell's looking healthier, you know, it's just going to come down to execution, and we can kind of reinstall those expectations that we had as the goal for this season.
I mean, I never uninstalled that goal, in fairness. I think no matter what, where the team's been from a health perspective, from a form perspective, that's kind of been the bar that needs to be cleared for the season to be considered a success.
Yeah.
The basketball world doesn't really give you much time for context. If you're not, you know, even with all the context, I think that's still been kind of the functional, minimum requirement, I think, for this team to feel. And I feel like they've told you as much, yeah. with their post game comments after they clinched and all that fun stuff. So I don't think that those expectations should be that goal, that standard should be recalibrated. With that said, I'm still less confident than, you know, I would have been a month ago that they were going to be able to achieve that goal.
Mm.
I think that they, you know, and we're going to do a much more thorough Orlando preview before game one,
yeah.
where we can dive in a little bit more, at least we hope to. But I am a really, really big fan of what that team's doing. I think they are a tough matchup for this current iteration of the team. And some of our best tools against them are not available to us right now. Hmm. So I think it's going to be a really, really tough series. And you know, it's just, this team needs Donovan at near his best form. They need Darius near his best form. And like, they might get that. And like, you know, if they just run through Orlando in the first round and Darius and Donnie go nuts, then, you know, I think I'll probably look a little doomy, but I just want to see it first. Cause those guys have just been so, you know, up and down with their health and their form, you know, since the All-Star break. And again, you know, and Orlando, you know, talk about the team struggled last year in the postseason because New York was able to just muddy up the game. Well, trust me, Orlando loves the mud. It's number one defense in the league post All-Star break. Size, positional versatility, point of attack defense for the guards. They got every tool in the bag to make this an ugly series. And, you know, I can't help but have some residual angst on the back end of that.
Carter, you're going to be shocked. I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to be hurt.
I know you are, buddy.
I'm bought in. I'm good to go. Like I said, Donovan looking the way that he has given me a lot more confidence, but it's not just him, right? Like, Max had been dealing with that knee issue for a while now, and for him to, you know, get some time off, he's now tied for seventh among Cavs all-time triple-double leaders with his first one tonight. But he's played 17 games since the All-Star break. He's shooting 41% from three. George Niang, 29 games since the All-Star break. He's shooting 42% from three. Like, you're starting to get those guys that, you know, you count on to be ready when the games matter the most. They're ready. They're rounding into form. Like, the role guys are looking terrific. And with Donovan looking, you know, as good as he has, that's really encouraging. I've been a little down on how Jared Allen has been playing lately, just because you can tell he's so fatigued and you're not feeling him on defense the same way. I felt him against Indiana. He was awesome against Indiana. That
he was great against Charlotte tonight, and, you know, in the minutes he did play.
Yeah, like, that's the kind of stuff that gives me confidence. And for Darius, obviously, this has been like a season from hell for him, that he's been working through all this kind of stuff. But for him to hit those big shots against Indiana,
3 of 4 from three in the fourth,
I thought that was really, really encouraging. And, you know, you just hope. Like, from a kind of situation standpoint, this is what we wanted. We wanted home court. We wanted this extended period of time at home in Cleveland to rest, recover, and get ready for this playoff series. And I just feel like they're rounding into form and they're able to, you know, start this series on the right foot. And you know what? I think people have already, like, I've seen people forecasting what future playoff series are going to be in the Eastern Conference. And frankly, I find that disrespectful. Like I said, I think every team that is 5 through 8 is capable of winning that first round series. This Eastern Conference is too good to do that. You're going to have to play really well and beat whoever is across from you. No one's going to roll over and just give you a series. And you're right to point out that Orlando is built to kind of stress test the Cavs, to you know, attack the offensive.
Kind of feel like a Knicks light, right. To be honest.
There's a lot of parallels there with the Knicks, and we'll kind of get into some of those season numbers and where, you know, it's similar and where it's differed compared to last year. But I want the Cavs to be tested against that. If, you know, everything goes chalk and the Cavs play a second round series against Boston, that's the gold standard. That's what we're trying to, you know, measure ourselves up against. I want to push Boston. I want to have a competitive series against them. But you're going to have to beat Orlando, and you're going to have to play really well to do so. So, you know, if they come out of a series against the Orlando Magic and they've taken care of business and you feel good about your performance, absolutely. I'm going to feel good about how we play against Boston, because we always play Boston really well. You know, that's going to be a lot of fun. But for me, like, I'm not looking ahead. I'm looking at Orlando, and I want to see the Cavs tested against the best teams. And I think this is the most interesting possible test that we could have had among the likely matchups in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I still, like, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think really, you know, I think all the potential outcomes, and I would like to just talk about, you know, the prospective roads and, you know, which ways, like, we felt broke well for the Cavs, yeah. Which ways we didn't. But, you know, I think all the prospective first round opponents had their own kind of, you know, interesting learning, you know, potential learning from, you know, with Orlando, it's are we going to get drug into the mud, or are we going to trust our offense, and are we going to be able to execute on that side of the ball and win a fist fight? Mm-hmm. With Indiana, it was going to be, hey, can we impose our style on them, or are they just gonna run us out of the gym? You know, I thought the Cavs did a nice job against that with Indiana most of the year. With the Sixers, it's like the ultimate test of, you know, what's Embiid's health, and and how do the double bigs, you know, hold up in that setting? Like, if there's ever a matchup to need 2 7-footers that are really great, it's that one. And then Miami, of course, it's the Spo monster. So I think all the outcomes were interesting. All the outcomes would have learned something, you know. But going into this, we kind of thought that you're either gonna, you know, be in the 2-3 and play, you know, and play like, and you know, if it had landed with them in the 2 or the 3 and they played an Indy and then, you know, probably a New York from there, would you have preferred that road, or would you have preferred what we got, which is Orlando in a series that the Cavs are definitely going to be favored in, and I think already are some sports books. And then, you know, going up against the juggernaut, you know, the best, you know, a historically good regular season team. Yeah, what do you feel like you were going to learn more from?
You're going to be shocked here, Carter. I'm going to sit on the fence just a little bit. What I wanted, like, I think my preferred matchup would have been Indiana. Indiana scares me, because of what they're capable of doing offensively. But from a Cleveland standpoint, I feel like the Cavs would be more likely to rediscover their offensive form against Indiana because of the lack of, you know, real resistance that you feel on the other end. And that would be very helpful for them to, you know, rediscover their form overall. And,
I wanted, you know, an offensive running start.
right. Like, you want to not be dealing with that. But, you know, and then obviously getting to play the Knicks in the second round potentially, I want to beat them, right? Like, I want to play them. I'm enticed by that matchup, and I want to, you know, acquit ourselves there and like conquer some of those demons and whatnot. But, you know, the other part of me is excited for this Orlando matchup. Like, I think that this is a really, really damn good team. They're a team that's going to challenge the Cavs, but they're a team that I feel like Cleveland is well designed to defend. Like, I feel like Orlando's going to have a tough time on the offensive end of the court, and this is really going to be a competitive series because of Orlando's ability to do the same thing to Cleveland, right? Like, I think it is going to be a muddy and ugly series, but it's also a series where, at least if you're going to look at the regular season sample, the Cavs have been able to generate good offense against Orlando at times this year. So it's really going to come down to, do they trust their system? Do they execute? Do they get baited into some of their worst habits and tendencies? That, to me, just intellectually as a fan, I find that fascinating. And even though it's the tougher test and the tougher road, I want the Cavs to be tested. Like, that's what I really want. Like, nothing would have been different about what the Cavs' strengths and weaknesses were last year if they beat the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. We might have not felt the same, you know, sense of urgency about addressing whatever issues are there with the team. Right now, I want as many valuable data points as I can get, and playing a team that, you know, stylistically presents challenges for the Cavs, and the Cavs having a tougher path in the playoffs this year, in a season where we've kind of been deprived of useful data points, I feel like as long as we've rounded into, you know, decent health here, we might actually get some actionable data based on what we see in this year's playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't know if there is a quote-unquote easier road. I mean, I guess by default, if you get out of the first round, they have the hardest road now because Boston's the best team in the league by every metric. So, like, in that sense, it is the hardest road. Yeah. But, like, I think I'm a little less worked up about it as everyone else because my kind of expectations are much more around getting out of that first round. And, I think I would have been fine with pretty much any of these opponents, you know, like any of those four prospective teams that I mentioned. I think I could have been on board with a matchup and learning something. The only thing I really didn't want was Miami, just because they, you know, sometimes they can just Miami you and you don't learn anything. And like, that's really, again, all I ever want. And like, if you're someone who listens to this pod a lot, all I want is actionable data. Yeah. Whether it's fun data or a bummer data, I want data. And I think you're going to learn a lot about this team in this first round and, you know, and ideally onward. But, you know, I think it is going to be fun. I do think this team is going to be tested immediately. So like, if you are of the opinion, you know, if you are of the opinion like, oh, phew, we didn't have to play Philly or Miami, I would hesitate to, I would tell you to to bring that exhale right back in and hold on to your breath, because I think we're in for a tough, tough series. Maybe I wouldn't think they were in for as tough of a series if Orlando hasn't been playing so well and we haven't been struggling so much. Mm-hmm. But like, the reality is that is where we are, and like, there is no gimme here.
Yeah, like Orlando's a team that's capable of beating, you know, Miami or Philadelphia in a playoff series, right? Like, I don't know if I would pick them, but I think that they are like that caliber, right? I think they are one of many teams that could beat any team in the Eastern Conference given the right matchup, right? So like you said, we're going to be getting some valuable data points. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested in areas that we've improved this season, but can still potentially be a weakness and have been, you know, a weakness in some of these games against Orlando. So I'm just really interested to see if we can kind of find consistency, because I think that's really going to be the theme of this playoff series, is consistency. Because when the Cavs are doing what they do best, I think they can execute against this team. I think they can play well, and I think they can, you know, win games as a result of it. But, you know, you have to be able to execute at that consistent high level and set that standard, the kind of standard that Zoom sets for this podcast. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Carter, you know I did stats. I called you a nerd moments ago, but the real nerd is me. Until you come and take my crown, I am going to keep that title. The Cavs played Orlando four times this season. They were 2-2 in those matchups. And one thing I found hard to believe, when, you know, you've played four games against a team in the regular season, the Cavs only had three lineups that played over 10 minutes against the Orlando Magic this season. The most used lineup against Orlando only played 17 minutes. And that was that lineup that the Cavs had with Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade, and Jared Allen. We might not see that one because Dean Wade isn't active. But, you know, in the minutes that they did play, they had a plus 36 net rating and a 133.3 offensive rating. The second most used lineup, only played one game, was our current starting lineup. They played 12 minutes against the Orlando Magic. They had a 130 offensive rating and a plus 26.1.
Look up, Dano. Call it. Cavs in four.
So you know what? We're golden. We're fine. That's all it is.
Pod's over.
In the two games that they won against the Magic, the starters were, you know, the current starting five as well as the awesome starting five won those games with Garland and Mobley out. The two losses, the starters in those games, one was Garland, Okoro, Strus, Mobley, and Allen. That was after the All-Star break. You guys probably remember it. And the other one was Garland, Mitchell, Strus, Wade, and Allen, with Evan Mobley out prior to those Boston games.
Yeah, it feels like there are some games where you feel like you can learn a lot from them. I feel like these ones, the lineups were so hard and so up and down, and felt like all these games happened at weird times for both teams. I feel like I'm not going to pull as much as I think we probably should have pulled from the Knicks series last year, where we're like, hey, every time we play New York, they seem to make us play hideous basketball.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that's necessarily been the case here. Like, the outcomes have been so diverse. The personnel on the floor have been so diverse. It's hard to, and you know, and then obviously the Dean Wade thing is a bit of an elephant in the room for me, because he is our big wing guy. You know, right. He has consistently been our big wing guy, and Orlando is just chock full of big wings, you know, absolute mashers in Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, and Evan Mobley only can guard one of those guys at a time.
Yep.
And you know, it'll be interesting. And this goes to show, I'm glad the NBA played all their games at once, but it did make researching this really hard, because I had to parent all day and didn't have any time to do research. So I'm going to come back. But in today's game, they started Jonathan Isaac at the five.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be very, very interested in getting a sense of what they're going to do with the big position, because one thing, starting Isaac at the five, Isaac has been amazing. He's been an all defense caliber player.
One of the best defensive players in the league by
and boy, does the eye test match that every time I watch them play. However, if they go kind of centerless, then all of a sudden the Cavs get to put Jared Allen on one of those two mega stars, or just let Jared Allen help off of Jonathan Isaac, who is not a crazy threat from three. Whereas, you know, a guy like Franz Wagner Mo Wagner, who Cavs fans now hate because of that game, that loss, or Wendell Carter Jr., two spacing threats or mash threats in the case of Wagner, or in case of Mo, like, you can't really do that. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of where Orlando goes with the personnel, but like that, they found some stuff in the post All-Star break. And, you know, again, the personnel has just been so different for both teams. I feel like I'm not quite sure where they're going to go. You know, the battle lines are less clear to me.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be very murky in terms of what this is going to look like, because you're talking about such small sample sizes. And, you know, I did mention that there were three lineups that played at least 10 minutes against Orlando this season. The third was not as productive for the Cavs. That was Garland, Mitchell, Strus, Wade, and Tristan Thompson. And we had talked about it before, after that Mo Wagner game, where people were saying, hey, well, you know, Tristan wasn't there. The rebounding was not good with Tristan against Orlando. That lineup had a negative 43.3 net rating, and they gave up 50% of all potential offensive rebounds. They only collected 50% of their defensive rebounds in those matchups. But you're right. Like, how it looked against Orlando this season is very different than how it looked last year against the Knicks. Last year against the Knicks, you look at the Cavs' offensive rating, where it ranks against other Knicks opponents, and they were 24th out of 29 teams that played New York this year. Against Orlando, the Cavs actually have the fifth best offensive rating against the Magic this season. They had a 118.7 offensive rating against Orlando. In the games that they won, they actually had a 127.3 offensive rating and had the second best defensive rebounding percentage against the Magic this season. They collected 76.3% of their defensive rebounds. In their losses against Orlando, the Cavs had a 109.7 offensive rating, which out of losses against the Magic, that's still the fifth highest offensive rating out of all opponents that they've had. But they had the fourth worst defensive rebound percentage in those games, which is 65.6%. So you can already see kind of some of those familiar trends of the Cavs are capable of defensive rebounding at a high level against this team. They are capable of scoring at a high level against this team. And it's going to come down to execution. And obviously the first thing I looked at as well, after looking at those rebounding numbers, is the pace. Orlando plays at a slower pace than Cleveland. But in those
28th post All-Star break, 95 possessions a game.
I believe they were around that for the season as well. In the wins for Cleveland, the pace was 97.5, not far off of the season number, not far off of the Magic season number. And then in those losses, the pace was 92.25. So dramatically slower almost like those fourth quarters that we've seen recently where it just is making things so difficult. And when you're playing a defense as good as Orlando, making sure that you have tempo in your offense, I think is going to be one of the most important things.
Yeah, well, you're going to have tempo. And I do think maybe we should just do a little bit of like a Orlando primer. You know, I know a lot of our listeners are probably not watching a ton of Orlando, but you,
it's primer, not primer, right? Did you do that on purpose?
No, it's primer.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
It's a British. At least that's the way I heard a British person say it once, and they made up the language. So anyway, please in the chat correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not going to read it. I think it's important to just talk about the way Orlando wins. On offense, they win by grinding down and getting to the freaking free throw line. They are mashers. There are high free throw rate teams that are grifters. There are high free throw rate teams that are mashers. They fall into the latter category. Justin, who led the league pre-All-Star break in free throw rate?
I'm guessing Orlando Magic.
Correct. Who led it in post-All-Star break?
Orlando Magic.
You're damn right they did. They are a team that really relies on that free throw rate. I believe they are dead last in the league in total made threes this year.
Yeah.
They have guys who can shoot, but they don't have a lot of, you know, Max Strus's or Niang's that are just going to get up 7-8 shots. And Paolo and Franz, their two best players, also shaky three-point shooters. They have streaky
to add
guys.
To your point, yeah, to add to your point, they're 26th in three-point frequency in terms of the volume of shots that they take, and they're 25th in mid-range shot frequency. Number one in rim shot frequency. So they do not take shots anywhere but the rim in terms of volume.
Yeah, and the other way they do that is by turning teams over. Post All-Star break, they lead the league in opponent turnover percentage. They turn teams over on just under 16% of their possessions. So it's like the Cavs are going to have an interesting line that they have to toe here, where, you know, a lot of slow-paced teams, that also reflects in their defensive philosophy, which is we're just going to keep everything in front of us, we're going to burn shot clock, and we're going to hope you take a bad shot over time. That is not this Magic team. They are event defenders. They are guys who fly over every dribble handoff and stay attached to your back hip. They're poking at every pass. And, you know, they are a team that gets their buckets by getting into transition or getting into semi-transition, getting size mismatches, and then mashing those. So, yes, the Cavs have to play fast if they want to... you know, kind of control the identity of the game, but that they can't lose control. They can't get careless and reckless and start turning the ball over, because it's really, if you really look at it, getting those mismatches early is really, and drawing fouls is really Orlando's only road to a strong offensive outing on most games. Paolo can hit a mid-ranger. Sometimes a guy like Suggs or Cole Anthony get really, really hot from three, but like that's not how they win.
Yeah.
They win by putting on the clamps, pressuring the ball, getting turnovers, getting out and running, and then mashing size mismatches, which they have a lot of those because they're big and strong across the board.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're looking for areas where, you know, as you evaluate how styles make fights, the gap in three-point frequency, I think, is going to be one of those key things to look on. Like, the Cavs are going to need to get those three-pointers up. You know, talked about how the Magic are 26 in terms of how many threes they take at what frequency. The Cavs are seventh most threes taken per game from a shot distribution standpoint. Cavs take even fewer mid-range shots. They took the second fewest mid-range shots out of any team in the league. And they're 12th in shots at the rim. So the Cavs have kind of transitioned from such a rim-heavy team. Even though it is still a big part of their shot diet, they take a lot more threes this year. And Orlando has been good at times suppressing the number of attempts that the Cavs have had against them, particularly in those wins that they've had. So that's going to be...
In wins, they've taken 36 threes a game against the Magic. In losses, they have taken 31.
Yeah, and I think one of those wins we only took 22 as well.
Yeah, so they had a crazy high volume. It was the Sam Merrill game.
Yeah, right. So, you know, we're going to need to make sure that that is part of the diet, because when you're playing a team that's going to generate second chance opportunities at a high level, even if you do a good job on the defensive glass, it's going to happen. They are going to generate second chance opportunities, and they do a good job generating turnovers as well. You need to find variance that's in your favor. And I think the 3-point line is obviously going to be a big part of that. Taking care of the basketball, because that's an aspect that's a little more under your control, is going to be a key. But, you know, if
here's another spot where they control variance. They do not give up offensive rebounds. They're the best defensive rebounding team in the league.
Yeah.
Post All-Star break. They are, again, they're just big, and they don't play fast, which means that they don't have to have a lot of guys leaking out. You know, you can just have Franz or Paolo or Isaac or Mo or even Suggs and Fultz, who are really, really good guard rebounders. Cole Anthony's a good guard rebounder.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of guys that are hanging around their own basket after teams get up shots and finishing off possession. So again, like, in a lot of ways, it is going to be a possession battle, and that's why you can't turn the ball over, because you're not going to get that chip back. You know, like, it's going to be a battle of attrition over time, and that's going to be really hard to overcome. They're not a crazy good offensive rebounding team. They're not like a bad offensive rebounding team, but they're middle of the pack this year. This is not like the Knicks last year, where they spent the entire regular season kicking the crap out of everyone on the boards. Mm-hmm. On the offensive board specifically, they're okay, you know, but that is not what they hang their hat on, because they want to get back on defense.
Yeah, and I think the other important thing is for the Cavs to take care of business at home. Like, I think when you look at differences between last year's first round series and this one, the Knicks had playoff experience. Those were guys, Jalen Brunson has been in playoff runs. They as a team had been on playoff runs. Josh Hart had been, he's a playoff performer. Like, that was a team with some experience. Orlando doesn't have that. Orlando does not have playoff experience outside of like Joe Ingles. And the Cavs, you know, they have it. They've brought in more when it comes to Max Strus and George Niang. They have the experience to draw on from last year. I mean, you look at the Knicks' first playoff experience, like what Julius Randle went through and all that, like when they, you know, lost it in the playoffs in 5 games, like, it was a negative experience. But all experience is good experience when you have something to draw on when it comes to the postseason. And the Cavs have another advantage here, which is that the Orlando Magic are not a good road team. They have a 110.4 offensive rating on the road. They really struggle there, and they're very good at home. In all likelihood, like, you're going to want to take one of those games in Orlando. It's very possible that Orlando steals one in Cleveland as well. Like, my biggest concern, honestly, is foul trouble, because they are going to be taking it to the rim so frequently. And we saw in the game against Indiana, when Evan Mobley got in foul trouble, that's when Indiana got back into the game. That's when they started getting a little bit more comfortable. So if Mobley gets into foul trouble, that can change the complexion of one game.
I don't think they have great answers for that on their roster right now. I'm going to assume no Dean Wade.
Yes.
Just based on the reporting, and be pleasantly surprised if I see him. Just because that feels more reasonable. And, like, you know, thank goodness they picked up Marcus Morris. This is a good Marcus Morris series.
This is great Marcus Morris
series. This is a good Marcus Morris series. It's important I feel like he's gonna get minutes here. You know, it might be a Tristan Thompson series, depending.
Yep.
You know, depending on that foul trouble. But, like, with no Dean, you are really going to rely on Marcus Morris. And this is where, you know, Tristan being a little up and down, and, you know, Damian Jones not being someone who's consistently been able to give you minutes. When you do run with Mobley as your, you know, kind of permanent backup five, mm-hmm. it does leave you more exposed to foul trouble than other series. I do think a playoff style basketball kind of plays in your favor there.
Yep.
The officiating kind of changes over the course of the season play in your favor there, where you're not petrified that you're going to get ticky tack. And again, this is not a grifter team. And it's really important to say that, because we complain a lot about players who, you know, we think are picking up fouls in unseemly ways. I don't think that is what the Orlando Magic do. Like, Paolo has some tricks, don't get me wrong, but he also puts his shoulder into your chest and yeah. tries to score buckets.
So, if they're letting the Cavs go straight up, like that does play into their favor. But yeah. like we saw last year, what a difference in how small the margins can be, because, you know, Josh Hart hits the game winner in game one, Nick Steele home court, exhausting. I hated it. It sucks. But then you have game four where, you know, Darius has that awesome second half and the Cavs have the lead and you're feeling good. And then Mobley gets into foul trouble in that game. And because they didn't have a Tristan Thompson, they didn't have another option to go to. They kind of lost control of that game and lost their opportunity to extend that series. That might happen in Orlando. You might have one of those games where, hey, we're about to steal one from the Magic. Maybe we won both of them in Cleveland, but we're about to take one against Orlando and we get into foul trouble and you lose that opportunity. So taking care of business at home, I think, is going to be really important. And the one name you didn't mention when you're talking about where this might be an important series is we got one guy that isn't a big, but has shown that he can defend some of Orlando's guys that can generate rim pressure, particularly Paolo Banchero. That's Isaac Okoro. Last time we played the Magic, Okoro guarded Paolo for extended stretches of that game. Paolo went 2-for-10 with Okoro guarding him. And if you're able to have Isaac disrupting Paolo's dribble and his ability to get to the rim with the bigs, or just one of the bigs even, able to provide that kind of help defense, I think you can trust your defensive infrastructure in those spots. And if Paolo's going to, you know, try to take those shots over Okoro and whatnot, I will live with him taking, you know, contested mid-range jumpers over a shorter defender versus their bread and butter, which is getting to the rim.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Paolo could not be more of a different player than Jalen Brunson physically. But, you know, it almost feels like the same conversation we had last year, which takes me to the onus of doing that, which is if you're going to play Isaac heavy minutes, which, you know, especially, you know, when one of the bigs is off the floor, well, the offense has got to hold up. You know, Isaac has been in a pretty big shooting slump over the last month. I think he's around 25%.
Oh, but that step back three. Today, I'm
in. I know, baby. It moved me. I know. But you know, like the offense has to be good where, you know, the team just got brutalized publicly for, you know, or, you know, and Brunson got so much love in last year's playoffs for all those tough mid-rangers he hit. And, you know, we can scream all we want about efficiency and points per possession and defensive rating. It's going to feel like a backbreaker if the offense isn't able to run. And that's the thing that's going to be tough, because I think this Orlando team is as well constructed to muck up the Cavs offense as maybe any team in the league.
Yeah.
Especially if Donovan and Darius are not in good form and, you know, relatively healthy. So it's going to be a series of tough choices. The nice thing is that JB has more choices, even with Dean banged up, even with, you know, Sam Merrill banged up. He's and poor Craig Porter Jr., who cranked the crap out of his ankle, and I don't know how long that's going to be. He's going to be out, and you know, he's not someone you expect to be in the rotation anyway. But you know, with Dean and Merrill both banged up, you still have more levers to pull. You know, JB had to go to the Danny Green lever pretty early in the playoffs last year. He's got more guys this year that he can use to kind of change the tenor. You know, the thing that's going to be tough is all those guys, you know, add something and all those guys take something away. So it's going to be, you know, like George is going to add spacing, but you know, do you just get mashed by the Orlando offense when he's on the floor? I do not like this series for George Niang, by the way.
I know you were just kind of going off for a little bit, so if you want me to stall you can take a sip of water,
interrupt me baby.
I was curious about how you felt about this series for George, like whether or not it's a decent enough matchup. Because the one thing, when you compare this to an Indiana potential series, Indiana, it's going to be, okay, they're going to test us at the point of attack. Haliburton can get going, even though he's been in a bit of a slump. They've got a lot of willing shooters. Neesmith is, you know, a terrific kind of wing that's able to put pressure on the rim and shoot from three. That's not really the case with Orlando. Like, their guards, like Jalen Suggs, like we talked about how good Jonathan Isaac is defensively. Suggs is one of the best guard defenders, and he's someone that's going to make life very difficult for whoever he's guarding on the offensive end. But him and Gary Harris, Markelle Fultz, they're not going to test the Cavs' point of attack defense as much. And I'm wondering if you think that kind of leaves an opening for George to have, you know, an impact in the series, because even though the Orlando bigs might be able to, you know, take advantage of him, if Isaac's rotating down to take Paolo in kind of those staggered lineups and George is out there as the spacing four, I think that there's spots where you can kind of have him and he could have an impact, a positive impact on the series.
I mean, he absolutely could. I don't want to be like overly sure about any of this, you know.
Yeah,
I just look at where I think George is best is when he's pulling a slower plotting big away from the rim, or the Cavs are consistently able to get two on the ball and get teams into rotation. And because Orlando is so freaking good at the point of attack with Suggs, with Fultz, with Harris, with Isaac, they're not often having to put two on the ball. They're not often having to get into crazy scramble rotations. They can do it. But you're not getting that. And when Jonathan Isaac takes two steps off of him, or Franz Wagner takes two steps off of Niang, those guys are so good and athletic that they can close out.
Mm.
So, you know, you're not getting a lot of the stretch advantages there. And I just worry on the other end where, you know, you turn the ball over and George is and Franz Wagner catches the ball with a head of steam. And oftentimes, especially in those bench units, George is going to be guarding guys like Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
And like, that's a rough matchup for him. I'm about as big of a Franz Wagner fan as you'll find. I just love his game.
I've cooled. I've become a little bit of a hater.
I understand. He got the NBA Twitter blessing, which is the number one way for you to hate someone.
Yeah. That just automatically triggered in my head. I'm like, are we sure he's not just German Tobias Harris? Like, what are we doing here? And I'm a Tobias Harris guy too. Not slander, but I think from a like a style of play standpoint,
I don't agree with that at all. I think he plays with so much Tobias. More for. I think he goes. Comes to the rim with so much force. And, you know, he's one of those guys, because he's so big, he's 6'8", that when you attack with force and you're not a terrible athlete, you just get easier angles for layups, where it's like, oh, I conceivably was in the right spot, but he's 6'8", 6'9", and you know, launched towards the hoop with momentum. And, like, that just gets you cleaner looks. You know, so I think it's a rough series for Niang. I think there's a real world where we see a lot of Marcus Morris early on, or, you know, by game two, game three, if the Niang minutes don't go well.
Yep.
Again, I think how well Niang functions in this series probably has more to do with what the guards are able to do than what George is able to do. You know, if
like
the guards
in terms
are
of how they're setting him up and whatnot.
Yeah, if the guards are getting the defense into rotation, Niang will be a helpful player. If Niang is catching the ball without advantage a lot, then you know what are you gonna? You know, you're just not getting what you need out of him. And if that's happening, then you need to find someone who can provide other skills. You know, you're gonna have to find ways to win in other ways, which is where a Dean Wade is really valuable, where a Marcus Morris, if he's in form, is helpful. So I think it's a tough matchup for him. I think, and frankly, even if Morris isn't giving you great minutes, part of me just thinks I just downshift. I just get a little faster and try to get into my offense a little quicker.
More Isaac.
With some guys who can run. More Isaac and Strus at the three and the four in some of those minutes, and just say, well, hope we can hold them off at the rim. I don't think Niang's giving you a ton of rim deterrence either. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of roads up the mountain here. And like the way I'm playing this out in my head could be very, very different from what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're looking at the regular season, we're talking about limited data points too. I think having the veteran presence of guys like Niang and Strus is going to make a big difference in this series. When you look at the on-off splits against the Orlando Magic this year, the two guys that made the biggest difference for the Cavs offense were Max Strus and George Niang. The offense was 11 points better with Strus on, 9 points better with George on. Every single Cavs player, or almost every Cavs player, had a positive net rating this season against the Magic. Mitchell was plus 12.4. Tristan was plus 12. Strus was plus 12. Allen plus 11. Mobley plus 8. Garland plus 8. The only guys that were negative in their minutes against the Magic were Sam Merrill, Dean Wade. Both of them were at minus 3. And poor Caris LeVert. Caris only played 27 minutes against the Magic. I think that was only one game. But he was a minus 22.3 in those minutes. But again, only 22 minutes.
Our pets' heads are falling off. Yeah, I saw an interesting comment in the chat, by the way, just to put a button on the Niang conversation. Fog in the live chat just said, or just match Niang's minutes with Ingles. Which, you know, you could do that. I'm interested to see how many minutes Ingles plays. Mm-hmm. You know, they really need him to, like, give their offense a little, you know, volume three-point shooting and playmaking juice. But, you know, obviously he's getting up pretty long in the tooth. So we'll see how many minutes he plays, which takes me to a question for you, Justin. Cavs have been playing 8 guys in the games that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to play 8 guys? Let's assume Wade is not available.
So coming off the bench, I think we're going to see 9. I think we're going to see 9.
So Caris, Okoro, Niang, and
Marcus Morris.
Okay.
I think we're going to see 9 to start this series. And then if we need to tighten up a little bit, we can.
That's the problem with 8 is you just, it's hard to add a body.
Yeah.
It's much easier to take one away.
And I honestly, like, I know he had the game against Orlando. I think this might be a tough series for Sam Merrill. What we've really seen is teams that have stout perimeter defenders that don't need to switch every single action and whatnot. Like, their screen navigation is phenomenal. What Jalen Suggs can do with Fultz, Gary Harris, all these guys, like, it's just wave after wave after wave of good perimeter defenders. I just worry about his ability to get free and impact the series. I can certainly see if the Magic are, you know, really muddying things up and we need that spark, we can go to him. And maybe
I think that's a break glass in case of emergency. Try to juice the offense play. If he's even healthy enough to play, by the way.
Right, because he has been dealing with what JB has described as whiplash, trying to take a charge. I believe it was against Paul George in the Clippers. But yeah, like I think maybe that's, you know, matchup dependent, how the game's going, break glass in case of emergency type option. But, you know, I kind of feel like we'll start with 9, and then if we need to kind of tighten up and things aren't going as we hope in this series, you can go down to 8. But I don't think it goes below 8.
No, I think I'd start with 9. One thing I will say is the fact that Okoro and LeVert specifically can be high volume or high minute players for this team does help make that a little bit more palatable. Like,
yep.
They ran eight against Indiana in a, you know, a wire-to-wire, you know, challenging game that they were really trying to win. What do you think their leading minutes getter had? It was Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen. They tied.
34?
38. But, okay. Like, 38 in the playoffs is completely fine.
It's nothing.
It's a very, very defensible number. Mobley played 29. Garland played 29. Struce played 28.
Yeah, but eight feels different if it's three guys that are playing 14 minutes. If you got two guys that are really coming off the bench and playing, like, that 26, 28-minute load, like, that makes things a whole lot easier. Because that's what you're really kind of trying to keep an eye on, is that minute load for the starters.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Yeah, and the only thing that is hard is, you know, I always talk about it. In the playoffs, you need pumpkin insurance. And if you go with an 8-man rotation, Niang can't give you 20. You played 27 in this game. You can't have 27 bad minutes.
Yeah.
From anyone. You know, that just won't work in the postseason. Like, you need every minute to be serving you in some way. So, like, I think, you know, but again, three of the five starters in that Pacers game didn't get to 30 minutes. So you have room to steal. You know, I think if you're going to run eight, you really want at least one of those bench guys to give you like 25 to 30, another one to give you 15 to 20, and another one to give you 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. And then you're at least like, you're running a humane rotation at that point. You're not running a D'Antoni rotation or a Tibbs rotation where you got someone playing 46 minutes. I don't really think the Cavs are particularly built for, I don't think any of their guys are best served. They don't have any cyborgs really, other than maybe Mobley, that you're not going to really see the effect of 46 minutes on them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think 9 is the right choice. On the other hand of that, JB hasn't really shown us that with this as of late. He's been playing 8. Yeah. So, like,
that I'm wrong about Morris being in the mix.
Well, it's not even about being right or wrong to me. It's about, even if JB and the coaching staff might go, yeah, we'd really like to have 9. But then they look at the fact that they've kind of been prepping the guys to be running 8.
Yeah.
And you go, we just got
to
run with what
the rhythm. Yeah.
We need some continuity in a season that's had none. So we're going to run 8. To what I said earlier, I do think it's hard to get up to 9 after you start with 8. You know, normally that just ends up being we've watched a lot of playoff basketball. A lot of times that just is a full replacement.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's not working. Let's just swap him and stay at 8 as opposed to just, you know, weaning a guy out of the rotation. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer here. I agree with you that I start with 9, but it's hard no matter what you do. Playoffs, baby.
Playoffs. We're going to go more in depth about this Magic matchup after we've had a couple days to research and try to get a Magic guest on.
I feel like we've done pretty damn good off of no homework, though.
No homework. I did some homework.
Well,
man.
I didn't do any homework. I admitted it on the front end.
I was putting on work before this year podcast. The one last stat I'm going to throw at you, because I think it is really interesting, and know, when you're talking about year over year growth and where we want to see and these points of emphasis, the impact of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley wasn't there last year against the New York Knicks. Like, they did not play well individually. That you didn't feel them against the Knicks, and they weren't really great against them in the regular season. I know Jared basically didn't play against the Knicks in the regular season. Mobley and Allen played two matchups against the Knicks, a total of 31 minutes. So again, all of this is coming with the small sample size caveat. But in those minutes, pace was phenomenal. We had a 101 pace in their minutes together. I think that's really important when you're playing two bigs. Offensive rating, 129.2 in those 31 minutes. Net rating, 35.3. And most encouraging, when you talk about, you know, second chance opportunities and all that, they got defensive rebounds on 84.4% of possessions. The rebounding was phenomenal with them. The offense was phenomenal. The defense was phenomenal. And the pace was great. That's what you want to see. I want to see them rise to the occasion, because if Mobley and Allen are the best big men and front court players in this series, it's over. Like, that's it, right? Like, no matter what the Magic guards do to make things difficult for Mitchell and Allen, if Mobley and Allen are out there making life difficult for Paolo and Franz, and they're dominating to that kind of extent, the Cavs can feel really good about their chances in this series.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident they'll do a good job on defense. This is a good matchup for them on that front. In terms of, you know, Orlando wants to get right to the rim. We're really good at stopping guys right at the rim.
Yeah.
I think the offensive side of the ball is going to be much, you know, going to be very interesting. Mobley averaged 15 against Orlando in his three games, shooting 62%. Jarrett only averaged 11, but he shot 70%. But I think their attempts are going to be an interesting bellwether as well there. Like, you know, how much are we going to notice them on the offensive side of the ball? Or are they going to fade away a little bit? I mean, Mobley, I think, was really good. I mean, four assists as well against Orlando in his three games, or in his two games, sorry.
Mobley's been looking exciting, man. Like, I like what I'm seeing out of him. And that's probably part of why I'm starting to puff out my chest a little bit here.
Yeah, again, my chest is certainly not puffed just yet. You know, it's definitely just kind of, it's just such a weird thing. I just don't feel like I have that much data to play with against this team, you know? Like, to your point, they've looked better against them. This isn't a New York thing where the Cavs have not really been able to get much going against them. They have. They've certainly been able to get stuff going against this team. But
they haven't played great lately.
Yeah, but they just have not played great lately. And that is just, you know, every time I start to get excited, I just go check that net ratings after the All-Star break and see us in the bottom third of the league. And this is why I think, compared to others, I'm a little less worried about who the first round matchup was. At the beginning of the day, I wasn't crazy worried about it before any games were played. And I think it's because I cared a lot about home court, because I thought this team needed as much runway as they could get up to that first game to refresh themselves, get their bodies right, get their brains right, and not having to hit the road for that first game, but instead, you know, getting extra time at home. You know, Darius is going to have 7 days between games. First game is going to be Saturday, so he's going to have 7 days between his last game and this one. Like, that kind of stuff is what I really wanted to see. And, you know, I think they have, by getting home court, they did everything they needed to get themselves ready to win a first round series this year within reason. It's still going to be hard. I still have a lot of concerns about health and form and all that fun stuff and reps. You know, you look at this Orlando team, they've been an exceptionally healthy team. I think they had five guys play over 70 games. So, you know, they have the continuity.
We can remove them from my little spiel about how every team feels like they're better than the record. They are who they are.
They pretty much are who they are, but they are also young as hell and fun as hell. Yeah.
Paolo's a star. Paolo's a star in the making. We got to see one of his first games of his career on Cavs opening weekend 2 years whatever his rookie season was. And that guy's awesome. Like he's absolutely on his way to stardom. And that's the type of talent that can, you know, change the complexion of a series.
Yeah. It's going to be a really fun matchup. I'm excited to dive in even further, learn more about kind of what this Orlando team can do. Look, watch some of their games and really see what we're up against. But they have a lot of fun optionality, and they're going to test this team in a billion different ways.
Well, thank you for some sobering analysis and you know, keeping me in check. I think that's really important. I'm just riding high right now because I'm walking around good and whatnot. But you know what? There's one thing we need to add. One thing that we absolutely have to bring up before we wrap up this here podcast, and that is...
Uh-oh, the Cavs are playing playoff basketball.
Let's go, baby. Let's avenge 2009. Go. I don't want to see anyone posting a GIF of Hedo Turkoglu this week is getting blocked. Same thing goes for Mikal Petras, any of those guys. Ray for Alston. No, it is on site when it comes to the Orlando Magic. That was the most painful playoff series. That's the most painful loss period in my sports fandom. I am not over 2009. Let's go avenge it. Let's go, Cavs, baby.
Let's go. It'll be fun. We're going to be in the land. It'll be great.
Going to be so good. I can't wait to get back to Cleveland. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live. Make sure you like and subscribe, click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to join the Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. however you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, I love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.